So I'll start by saying that I have no relationships to disclose. And as mentioned, I work for the Children's Environmental Health Initiative, and the lovely faces on here, two of them belong to Rebecca and Pam, my colleagues. The Children's Environmental Health Initiative, which I'll refer to as CHI during my presentation, is an education, research, and outreach organization committed to fostering environments where all children can prosper. So the purpose of this presentation is to look at the built environment and health. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time on the background of this because the following presentations are using the data mentioned in here for their presentations as well. So when we're talking about the built environment, we're thinking about how things like housing, transportation, resources, safety, and community structure are able to impact the health of the residents. And that's not just physical health, but also mental health, social health. So the question that we're asking is, how do these things, including aesthetics, affect the health of the community? So in order to answer this question, CHI developed the Community Assessment Project. There are two main goals of this. The first is to better understand how neighborhood context affects birth outcomes. And the second is to better understand how neighbor characteristics can change over time. And this project is part of the Southern Center for Environmentally Driven Disparities in Birth Outcomes, which CHI is part of. And they have a project called the Healthy Pregnancy, Healthy Baby Study, which follows women throughout their pregnancy, collects biological information, and then records the birth outcome. And so this is trying to get information on the neighborhood context of those women. And so in 2008, when we did this, about 41% of the women enrolled in the Healthy Pregnancy, Healthy Baby Study were living in these neighborhoods shown in the map on the screen. There are about 29 neighborhoods here, and this is urban Durham in North Carolina, and you can see where that is in the little inset map. So it's in central North Carolina. So how did we do this? We conducted a parcel level, so individual properties, on-foot assessment in Durham of about 17,000 parcels. For each parcel, we looked at about 55 built environment variables, and we just indicated the presence or absence of those. We recorded the information on handheld GPS units, which were able to locate or record not only the information, but also the physical location of the information. And so this was done in 2008, and then in 2011, this past summer and fall, we've been repeating that and also expanding the area into northern Durham and southern Durham, and the goal of expanding was to increase the capture rate from 41% of the women in the Healthy Pregnancy, Healthy Baby study to 62%. So what did we look for when we were walking around Durham neighborhoods in our matching polo shirts and funny yellow devices? Well, first we wanted to describe the property type. So is it residential, commercial, community? Does it look like it's occupied or unoccupied? And usually it's pretty easy to tell in urban Durham if homes truly are unoccupied. And then we looked at a variety of conditions for these houses. Some of them were houses, some of them were commercial buildings, and we looked at all these conditions for any property type. So you can just scan those lists. Things like broken windows and boarded windows, and for those two variables, we actually indicated the number observed, and we could record anywhere from 0 to 10. Then we also looked at nuisances that were present on the property. So some of the conditions describe the actual building, and then another set of conditions describe the property on which the building sat. These nuisances also were collected for the public space, so on the sidewalk, in the road, things like litter, shopping carts, standing water. So these are a lot of variables to try to make sense of. So kind of like the EPA's EQI, we tried to summarize these data into meaningful indices. So we perused the literature, learned some more about different domains that are believed to exist under the built environment area, and we came up with these seven domains: housing damage, property disorder, so housing damage are the things that describe the building, property disorder are those nuisances that are on the property. Then the block level nuisances, security measures, which we believe to indicate some measure of territoriality in neighborhoods, renter occupancy, which that information we actually got from the Durham County Tax Assessor's Office, and then which properties were vacant. And then we also incorporated crime information from the Durham County Police Department. And you'll notice that some of these are red, and those are because in one of our first analyses that we've done, that Dr. Messer actually did, we found that the ones highlighted in red are linked to birth outcomes. And so instead of showing you summary data of all of the indices, I'm just going to focus on these. And so what we did is we constructed these indices at the block level and then also at the primary adjacency level, which is what this figure on the right is demonstrating. So if you take any given block, you give it a score based on the conditions of itself and all of the surrounding blocks. So you get a better sense of what somebody living on that block might be exposed to. Because if you look at just the block level, you don't have, it doesn't include what you see across the street or what's happening down on your street corner. So this is to get a better idea of community and not just one single block. So from those data that were collected in 2008 and 2011, how are we able to compare change and see how built environment conditions are able to change over time and then link data from 2008 to birth outcomes and then also data from 2011 to birth outcomes? So as I mentioned, the indices were constructed back in 2009 at the block, the indices in 2008 were constructed several years ago and have been used in some analyses. So now we constructed the data from this past summer at both the block and primary adjacency level. Then we combined the data and we subtracted the baseline 2008 values from the 2011 values, which means that on the maps I'm going to show you, positive values are generally going to be displayed in a shade of yellow to red, and that indicates an increase in the total number of negative conditions. So built environment conditions are worsening in that area. Negative values, which are going to be green, indicate a decrease in the total number of negative conditions. So the built environment has improved in the last 3 years. So here we have that same area that I showed on one of the first slides of the neighborhoods in Durham. And this is a map showing housing damage at the block level. The first four maps that I show will be at the block level, and then I'll show one example of what happens when you take that block level information and look at that primary adjacency. So here you can see that there's a lot of clustering, but then also there aren't a lot of patterns, but in generally, so there's a concentration of red right here, higher density of worsening conditions here, and then other areas tend to see that things improved. And the range on here is pretty vast. If you look, the block that saw the greatest increase saw a decrease in 42 counts of something that indicated some indication of housing damage, and the greatest increase was 98, which is hit pretty high for one particular block. This is just for a specific block and not the primary adjacency. Similar thing if you look at property disorder, and I'll say I was going to try to also show you some demographic information for Durham, but we don't yet have it for 2010, from the 2010 census. And when you overlay it with the 2000 census information, it wasn't very meaningful, and it seems like it would be a false representation of social information in Durham right now. So I just have this information to show you. But that is something that we look at. So here's property disorder, and again, certain blocks saw a decrease in up to 109 built environment conditions, and others saw an increase in 116. And in this particular map, it seems things seem to be less clustered and more sporadic. Here is renter-occupied housing. So the same area that saw increases in housing damage seems to also be experiencing a very high increase in renter-occupied housing, which is some indication of stability of a community. And then you have vacant properties. And this is a nice map because it looks like a lot of blocks actually saw a decrease in the number of vacant properties, which I think leads to some really interesting questions in Durham. So here's an example of what I was talking about with a primary adjacency. When you start to look at what is happening at more of a community level instead of a specific block, things become more clustered and you get a sense of what a neighborhood might be experiencing. And this is the housing damage, primary adjacency information, and that was the first map I showed you, so I'm going to show you what that looked like again at the block level. So here you see when it's just summarized at the block level, and then this is it when you go to primary adjacency. So you're still seeing the same general patterns, but you're getting a better sense of what people in a community are being exposed to around them. So from this, when we're able to map this change, what can we conclude? Well, urban environments are dynamic, especially in Durham. There are a lot of groups doing a lot of work, but then there's still a lot of other things that are happening as unemployment rates increase and the economy is slow to get better. But even though neighborhoods are dynamic and one would expect neighborhoods to be dynamic, built environment assessments often are only conducted once, and then that information is used for maybe a decade and linked to health, to birth data or general health data that are from 5 years prior or 5 years after. And so can you really get a meaningful signal or get meaningful information from that type of analysis? Repeated assessments of neighborhood quality are important to truly understand the magnitude and direction of change in the built environment in specific neighborhoods. You can't just assume that as the economy changes that all neighborhoods are going to change in the same direction, or that you can anticipate which direction it's going to be and by how much they will change. So some blocks and communities may continue to experience worsening built environment conditions, while others may be experiencing the exact opposite. And then finally, multi-year assessments may also be really useful in evaluating the impact of public health programs and interventions at the local level, as well as social services that are available in certain neighborhoods, and how beneficial they are to the communities in which they're located. So some questions, and these are not by any means exhaustive, but to think about next with these data, are how do changes in the built in neighborhood conditions correlate to trends in birth outcomes within those neighborhoods? So if we can look at some things from the 2008 data, birth in 2008 to the built environment in 2008, and then compare that to 2011 and see how the changes relate to each other, that could be interesting. How are changes in built environment conditions and social characteristics related? So that demographic information I was mentioning before that we haven't had a chance to match to the built environment data yet. And what is driving the change? What social programs and interventions or crime prevention strategies have been implemented in this area in the last 3 years to cause certain areas to get worse and other areas to experience a better built environment? And then also, how has the economy influenced the observed changes? Could they have been anticipated in certain neighborhoods, or were they unexpected in others? And I'd like to thank the Durham community and partner organizations, because this project is truly a community-based project, and their support wouldn't make this a successful study at all. And also the CHI team and the field team over the years, even though we have a 6-member field team, there are a lot of names because we did it in 2008 and this summer, and then the EPA for funding.